welcome to another edition of Local Perspectives, Local Issues of Local Interest. I'm Reed Mullins, and always have the good fortune to speak to some elected officials here on the show, especially when they have some terrific initiatives that they've been working on. And it's our honor to have on our line County Commissioner Brian Mann. Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well. There is a great program in Oklahoma County called SHINE, and this is pairing offenders that are going to do some jobs that need to be done community service-wise, and you guys have really racked up a lot of hours in this program, and it seems to be working well. So could you just start off by giving us a little overview of SHINE and maybe how long this program has been around?
Sure. It started in April of 2010, and it was actually designed around maybe going and tackling the graffiti problem. That was the idea of the public defender, Bob Ravitz, and then it quickly grew, talking about within a few weeks, we understood it was going to be much larger than that and its ability to tackle all kinds of issues with our community and challenges that we've been trying to figure a solution for quite some time. It stands for Start Helping Impacted Neighborhoods Everywhere, and that is really the crutch of it. And we're really proud that this week we have actually eclipsed 100,000 hours, so we're very excited about that. And just to give people an idea, that's 50 full-time man years. So that's usually way more than a person's entire working career has now been absorbed through this program in just April of 2010 till the present.
About 18 months or a little more. That's amazing. So this seems to be working well. Now, you're using people who are offenders, but they're kind of low level, I guess.
Right. You know, when I came into office, we were wrestling with all these overhead issues, and just like most conservatives, I advocate smaller government, but you have to look at the fixed items on your ledger to understand what really can be changed and what can't. Labor is pretty well fixed. The cost of utilities, there isn't a lot of say-so about that. So I looked at the fact that we spend over $6 million a year on the health care for the inmates. That's a federal requirement. And so if we don't have them in our custody, that means we're not paying for that health care. So that 30, 60, 90 days that they might have otherwise spent in jail, we're getting rid of that burden on the taxpayers, because that boiled down to about $450,000 a month. And so through this program, we, in 2010, reduced the daily jail population of about 80 per day. This year, we got it closer towards 120, and perhaps with more judicial buy-in from the courts, I think we're going to see it continue to grow.
Now, along with these people who are doing these jobs, is there any sort of skills matching or anything? Are you able to even maybe find some people who might have some expertise in some certain areas?
We do identify that. We have a couple of working relationships with a few employers who have now just established a rapport with me and said that if you really feel like you found a good hand, just let me know. And I have one entity that's a landscape company that always needs help, and they said, sight unseen, if you will vouch for them that they are a good hand, if they've made a mistake in life, but you feel like after having worked with them during that time to burn off their community service hours that they are really a all-around good person, I will go ahead and take your faith and put them to work where they start generating taxes and, of course, provide a way for their family again. And basically, when I went to the courts and said, how about this, as opposed to 30, 60, 90 days in jail, you sentence them to me, and I'll make sure that they're sorry they broke the law, and let's get them out of our jail where they quit getting 3 square meals a day and no worries. You know, now they're responsible for their own health care, their own transportation, their own meals, and thanks to state statutes that if they should be injured, God forbid, they are responsible for their own health care, because we're protecting many workers' comp or tort claims.
Okay, so let me ask you the obvious question from a civilian standpoint. You're going to trust these guys, though, on their own recognizance, basically, to come into work and show up and all of that. How's that worked out for you?
Well, actually, they're under supervision. That is the arrangement I have with the judges. So I have a couple of county employees who stand guard over them, but not so much as armed, even with pepper spray. No nightclubs or anything, certainly no guns. And we have had no altercations. We will send people home if they get sassy. If they don't work 4 hours, they don't get credit for 1 minute. We don't have a revolving door. We're not a taxi service. We're not going to keep running you back from the work site to your car every 30 minutes if you decide you don't like to work. So if you come, you have to work for at least 4 hours. And if you show up, you have to arrive with your own transportation to one of the two pickup spots where we put you in a county van and haul you off to the two work sites. So even if they've had a suspended license, we pick up folks next to the bus stop so they can find a way to get there, get their girlfriend, grandma, whoever, to take them. And we haven't had any problems except for one lady who decided she couldn't wait till 4:30 to get off work to light up her marijuana joint down in a ditch we were cleaning out. As a result, we just pull her up to the top of the ditch and waited for the canine unit to show up. Definitely confirmed she was partaking of marijuana. Her judge heard her violation hearing for her probation that afternoon. It was a female judge. She was so incensed that this person had violated their mercy chance from the courts that she ordered her to 10 years in prison. So I have said that is probably the most expensive marijuana joint ever smoked. I
would imagine so.
Hey, for both us and for that person. And when we tell that story every morning, that pretty well has been a good deterrent for all the future participants we've had. We haven't had another problem.
Are a lot of these people first-timers?
Actually, several are not. Usually a first-timer can, maybe with the exception of a DUI, get off with just usually paying court fines and things of that nature. So this is, again, another last chance mercy plea from the courts to get your act together. So a lot of them are forewarned about that. If you value still putting your kids in bed at night, going to their T-ball games on the weekend, not missing your parents' anniversary party at the end of the month, all that stuff that you would not be allowed to do if you were incarcerated, then you need to really take opportunity here that's been presented to you and make full advantage of it. So that's really what we have experienced. A lot of people have realized that with their own two hands, they've actually wound up figuring out they too can make a difference. I'm amazed at the number of people who self-admit that they haven't been a part of anything really larger than themselves, and they really are moved by it, and obviously we are too when we see that transformation.
Average work crew, how many people are we talking?
We range from 25 to 45 a day. It kind of depends on the weather, whether there's an upcoming holiday and stuff like that. They are usually given between 6 months and 2 years to burn off their time, depending on how many hours. If they have about 40 hours to burn off, they have to do it within 6 months. We have had someone sentenced to 2,000 hours, which is a full year, 40 hours a week, and they have obviously had about 2 years to get that done.
Now, I know that you're avoiding a lot of the feeding and housing costs, keeping them in a county jail. There probably are some costs to this SHINE program, though. Where do those come from? Are you getting some help from anyone?
We are. As a matter of fact, we were doing this program initially, and then the district attorney and the legislature decided that probably the funding that I had originally came up with wasn't the proper source, so they decided that we should go at it a different way. No one thought I was breaking the law or anything, but they just felt more comfortable with the state auditor if we moved another direction. So we're actually looking for a legislative remedy this upcoming session. We've had an interim study, and I believe that that's going to pass. However, in the meantime, to still be operational, we went and secured independent funding from the county. So Chesapeake led the way with a $100,000 matching grant, which Oklahoma City's matched, and then the Housing Authority for Oklahoma County was somewhat of an unlikely source, but they have all these parcels that are actually absorbed by the county that maybe are just little vignettes or little strips of land that fall between two property owners and things that are not claimed. The county has responsibility for maintenance. And so they saw it as a great investment to give us to support this program, because among the things we do is go out and use this labor force to service those properties and help make them more attractive for a would-be buyer, which ultimately gets them back on the property dole.
Yeah, let's dig a little bit deeper into actually what you're doing. You talked about graffiti removal, but it probably has to be a lot more than that. Now, you're not inventing things for these people to do. These are actual properties and maybe projects or problem areas?
Exactly. And a lot of what we have decided that we're going to become specialists in countering and dealing with are decades in the making problems. You know, these were not things that occurred overnight, and that for whatever reason, government entities, nonprofits, private sector have yet to figure out a solution for. An example may be like Capitol Hill High School had a back 10 acres. It's the largest campus, I believe, in the entire county that a school facility sits on, 49.6 acres, 10 acres of which had been completely unmanned for about 40 years. The school district simply, of course, could not anywhere near come financial resources to support or tackle that program. And what makes this program so successful with SHINE is the fact that it's married with the equipment that we have at the county. Most of the lawn sheds that you would see don't possess the tools that would take to, for instance, take on a wooded area. But in these wooded areas and lots of overgrown creek beds and stuff like that, we'll often find prostitution hangouts, hobo huts, and different drug places that are set up there for busting up cocaine or marijuana packages and distributing them. So really addressing these issues not only addresses blight and helps increase property values, what we're proud of is the fact that we've seen a significant reduction in crime stats in these areas we've gone in and worked.
Is there an end date to SHINE, or is this going to go on as needed and as long as it works?
We're funded through 30th as we stand right now. We will continue this program if we cannot continue working out in the areas of the city, which most people may not realize. The county commissioners are only responsible for those areas that fall outside of a city limits, especially if the town is above 5,000 in population. So where we've really, of course, wanted to focus the interest of this program is in some of the more populated areas because it's obviously impacting the people, and we do service the county as a whole, so that is somewhat confusing, I understand, to the constituents. But if this program doesn't get funding from an ulterior source, then we will just go back and be limited to working exclusively in the unincorporated areas, which obviously, fortunately, doesn't tend to have as many crime problems as the inner city.
Does SHINE exist in other counties in Oklahoma?
This is the only county so far in Oklahoma that's done it. Colorado Springs sent their Chamber of Commerce delegation over to visit both the city of Oklahoma City for in the morning, and then they spent the afternoon with me basically telling us that they wanted this program implemented. We have had an increase from Nigeria. A candidate running for president there has sent an employee over from his staff. He's currently one of the governors of their 19 states that make up the country of Nigeria, and he believes this is how they can turn it around. Everyone understands that we obviously have to have law and order, but paying for that is so encumbersome. And obviously one of the biggest problems that California faced, a well-known budget crisis they've suffered from for the past few years, is this incarceration cost, because this federal requirement does insist that we cover all the health care costs, and not indifferent than anybody else in the rural world who are facing what they have to do with paying for health care.
You mentioned earlier that you actually had an employer that might be interested in some of these workers. If maybe someone's listening who might have an interest as well, how could they get in contact with you?
They simply call my office at 713-1502. And for really particularly your listeners, Reed, I think that they might be interested in the option for this that we created this last year called Students for SHINE, which is for any student before graduate either high school or college who voluntarily gives 100 hours of community service for any organization, so long as someone besides themselves attests for the time they gave, then we'll give them a white and blue patriotic distinguished graduate cord that they can wear at their commencement ceremonies. And probably more important for their long-term interest is the certificate that they get for their portfolio. And a number of employers have been interested in this because, you know, when they look at resumes for especially entry-level jobs, they see multiple shades of gray, and they are looking for a distinguishing attribute so that it sets them apart. Anybody who's willing to give back to their community is likely to be a better employee.
Very good. Now, I know that the county has a website as well. What is that address?
It's oklahomacounty.org.
Okay.
And if you look for I'm County Commissioner for District 2, and there is information about SHINE on that site.
Very good. Well, it's a fascinating program, and it sounds like a great success, and my compliments to you and everybody involved.
Thank you, Reed, for having me on.
That's County Commissioner Brian Mond, and you've been listening to Local Perspectives, Local Issues of Local Interest. I'm Reed Mullins.